Welcome to Country Start with Leah. Good evening, everybody. And I'm your host, Magdalena Winkler. We are on BBS Radio Talk Show. And tonight, we will have an incredible, a great guest. His name is Austin Moose. Hi, Austin.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm doing great. Well, thank you for being connected here from LA. I mean, this is pretty amazing. And Austin, I'm so excited to take you and present you to our listener. Let me just kind of first, welcome them. Good evening, everybody, and thank you for tuning in. And if you have any questions for Austin tonight, please call in 1-888-627-6008. Again, good evening, Austin. Thank you for being on the Country Start with Leo.
Well, I'm glad to be here, and I'm ready and ready to go.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I have to tell you this. The more I am reading about you, as look like I said to you a few minutes ago, the more I just amazing what you do. Well, I just wanted to kind of briefly introduce you to our audience. You are a startup advisor, author, astrologer, and I will say a cutting-edge life coach, correct?
Yeah, that is what I like to do and what I always try and get better at. So
yes, and we actually kind of decided for tonight to talk about how crowdfunding will rebuild the American dream, but also what I was looking for kind of to incorporate how you do astrology and how astrology can help your customer and your clients. And originally, you are actually from Dallas, and right now you are a seasoned Los Angeles entrepreneur. I love this word, entrepreneur. And what is amazing, I was pretty astounded that you did actually over 30 different jobs, and you bootstrapped seven businesses from ground zero. That's pretty amazing. And I think that will actually qualify you and for the listener to give them an idea that you know what you're talking about. Am I right?
Most definitely. If you can't start up with nothing, then I think you're taking it too easy. But no, I'm just joking. But
no, really, I know what you're talking about.
It takes a lot of concerted effort in today's economy to do something new and original. And I just feel like it's just such a great time to be alive and to be doing startups. So I'm just so happy to be here talking about it.
Well, exactly. And I also still wanted to just to add to our listener that you actually extensively studied occult marketing methods and tapped in the benevolent power of symbolism to empower your clients and customers. So, you know, this is how what we are talking about, how to use astrology, you know, to merge for the business aspect. On the personal note, what I really like, hold on, where is my note? What I really like on the personal side, you're talking about your hardcore Tai Chi and caffeine enthusiast. Good for you. I love that part. So combo all over. Okay, Austin, oh my God, I decided, you know, that the topic was about the crowdfunding, but what I realized, you really took a hard look at life. So I would actually like you to talk from the beginning first about that before we can go into the value of the crowdfunding and find your vocation and on and on and on. So would that be okay?
Yeah. As far as a hard look at life, I mean, just in general, if you don't have a streamlined purpose, you know, trying a bunch of different things, I think, is always a good way to get your foot in the door and to kind of get your feet wet, because just hard work in general shows us a lot about ourselves and it shows us a lot about our persona. And I always went by the mantra that you should work to learn and not work to make money. That's kind of at the beginning of my entrepreneurial quest. I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and although I don't agree with the entire book, I definitely agree with that principle. And I think that if people aren't on a perpetual quest of development, then they're kind of cheating themselves out of a full life experience. And so as painful as change may be, it's really all we have to hold on to in this world, because everything we do will eventually change and nothing lasts forever, as they say. So I, you know, learned this in my life the hard way through, you know, some good and some bad experiences. But at the same time, I just kind of came to the realization that, you know, A, I wasn't going to probably lead a conventional path towards my, you know, personal fulfillment. And what is conventional anyway, you know, conformist, mm-hmm. I guess you could say. I wasn't going to lead a conformist path. But at the same time, I was going to really question all the steps deeply as I went and not just go on them blindly. And that's how I kind of got into the, you know, the secret or the hidden side of life with the occult marketing methods and the astrology and what lies beneath. And I think that's what you were...
Yes, practically, you know, having a more a holistic approach. I mean, whatever that means, again, you know, but to approach from many, many different angles and figure out what is working and what is not working. Because what we are really facing today is a tremendous challenge. And a lot of people, what I find, they are incredibly lost and they don't know where to start.
They are incredibly lost, and they've been, a lot of them have been beaten up and chewed up and spit out by the system. And then, you know, all of society keeps pointing them back towards the system for their answers, whether that be in the form of, you know, another job or welfare or all these different kind of options. But really, ultimately, the system, although it can aid us in some senses of giving us stability and this and that, it isn't going to answer the deeper questions for us. So we have to go inside ourselves for that. We have to reach into the astrology. We have to reach into the, you know, vocational stuff and the entrepreneurial stuff, because that's where the individuality lies. And one of my mentors, Michael Tsarian, talks about, you know, always asking yourself, what can I do? What can I bring to the world that no other one individual can do? And so these types of questions are always good when we're searching and we're feeling lost.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, my experience is also that, you know, a lot of people cannot recognize that, you know, Dorothy, we are not in Kansas anymore. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, whether you're talking about everything from UFOs to mind control to all these types of topics, I mean, people really have to be hip and be very savvy to succeed, because there's people trying to take advantage of us actively, and we have to be kind of cognizant and spiritually secure in who we are if we're going to have that kind of psychic self-defense to just kind of... Sometimes you're required to go it alone. Sometimes you're required to be an island of sorts for periods of time, to because these are testing periods in our life. And if we're not doing our inner homework, and if we're not kind of clearing our own problems up, then, you know, there's consequences to that. So I try and approach business and life on an all levels basis.
Well, I think what is hugely important, because, you know, I am myself in health and wellness over 20 years, and what I recognize that if you are not grounded, especially right now in these challenging times, that you are losing, and that you don't know where to kind of connect to yourself. So you really want to be grounded, but also, you know, find your own core.
Exactly. And when I'm talking with my clients, I think the morning is the key for that. If you don't get off to a good start with some sort of meaningful morning ritual, whether that be as simple as 10 minutes of just kind of quiet time to a walk to whatever you do to kind of spiritually connect with yourself, if you don't have that in the morning to kind of shift the energy of the day, then you're kind of at the mercy of the winds in a sense. So I always advise people to have something in the morning that just gets them things started on the right foot. And obviously that's just a first step, but at the same time, we accumulate kind of bad chi sometimes when we sleep at night, especially depending on our feng shui and this and that. So it's always a good plan to just do something to get your chi flowing in the right direction in the morning.
Absolutely. I was also very impressed, Austin, when you were talking about one of your businesses that you were, when you founded, it was about the birthright recording. And what very impressed me that you were doing those videos or recordings for the older people to preserve their stories of their lives and family heritage. But also you came to, I understand, that those older people had a much better story than the younger generations. And actually, I would actually like to talk a little about that too before we go into the crowdfundings. Because yeah, there's a huge importance, you know, that we are struggling actually between generations here.
Yeah, and people think it's just a Western problem, but in fact, the problem of the lack of respect for the elders has even gone over into China now, where they're kind of worshiping youth as well, because the kid is so important to the family's, you know, stability going forward with the one-child policies and, you know, these kinds of things. So it's a worldwide problem to a certain extent, and people really aren't looking to the elders for the wisdom. I don't know how many times older people could solve modern day problems fairly quickly, but instead we've cast them aside as useless and, you know, being set in their ways and this and that. It's like, well, some of them may be very, you know, jaded and codgerly and this and that, but there's plenty of other older people who just have, you know, tons and tons of experience, and they do things the way that works. You know, they do things a way that brings stability. And that's really what our, you know, our generation, I think, has become, is just a bunch of, there's a lot of entitlement, rich kids going willy-nilly, and that's what our culture is just this, like, weird, you know, kind of lack of creativity, self-importance thing going on for the mainstream culture. Now there's tons of underground stuff that's amazing, but anyway, I digress. So it was just a very important business, I think, to capture people's memories, especially before they pass away, to kind of understand where you came from, how you got to where you are, and, you know, even what your karmic path is in life, and, you know, what the karmic hardships your grandparents had to face, because you might have to face similar psychological difficulties because you're in the same lineage. You know, there's a lot of different dynamics to why we should preserve these types of heritages.
Oh, yeah, that's very interesting, because I strongly, you know, when I started to get involved in astrology myself, I recognized the ancestral patterns. So I was working a lot about with the ancestral patterns. But I also liked when I was reading, in the beginning of your book, when you said, you know, about that, how the young generations are emotionally protected from being involved in the nature and in the world. And that's a hugely, interesting, actually also important to recognize and give a voice to that part.
I didn't totally understand. So being shielded from nature, is that what you're talking
about? No. So today, the young people, they are working in corporations, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, they are also in corporation settings and, you know, and they are actually protected from the emotional involvement.
Oh, okay. Okay, I got what you're saying now. So, yeah.
Yes.
There's a lot of disconnect where mm-hmm. emotional development isn't regarded in any sort of positive light. I mean, people couldn't be further from in touch with their emotions. The guy who did the Scientology documentary just did a Steve Jobs documentary. And you want to talk about someone who is emotionally devoid, it's freaking Steve Jobs. And you have all these tech people worshiping him like he was a messiah. And it's just ridiculous. If you look into these people's personal lives, they're a freaking mess. You know, the corporate moguls are just, you know, Steve Jobs was at the lesser end of the psychopathy too. I mean, he was kind of probably one of the most, you know, the more well-adjusted ones. I can only imagine what some of the other ones are like, but.
Well, no, this is why I said you really took a hard look at life. So this is, now you understand why I took that statement.
Yeah. I mean, it's all around us. It really is. And it's hard to get away from it, because even with the younger generations I see coming up and wanting to do startups, they've been taught by the old guard, so to speak, that the, you know, money's all that matters and I need to retire at 30 and this whole, it's like retiring 30 and do what? You know, what are you going to really do? So I think people need to look at a longer term, sustainable, you know, meaningful life for themselves and stop thinking about, you know, how they can, you know, just live on Easy Street. Who cares? You know, I think it's good to apply yourself. So.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, another thing is what I was reading also in part of your book when you were talking about that, you know, in low-paying jobs, there is no self-personal growth involvement. You know, that's another one, which is so truthful.
Exactly. And that's where I got stifled into depression during my youth is my dad was like, if you're not playing sports, you're going to be, you know, working 30, 40 hours a week and going to high school and this and that. So, I mean, I got stuck doing fast food and retail and this and that. And no one values your opinion. No one thinks you care. No one wants to talk to you about, you know, how the company could run better. You're just there to be a drone and to you know, while the hours away in your, you know, low wage serfdom. But, and that's not even bad. I mean, I definitely appreciate where I am now because of that kind of stuff. So I don't even think that's bad. But at the same time, you're not inspiring individuality or creativity by working those kinds of jobs.
Well, not just that, Austin. You know, when you have to work two or three jobs, you're exhausted. You don't have time anymore to do any kind of spiritual or personal growth work. That's the last thing you wanted to do when you're exhausted.
No, that's a great point. And, you know, I was worried about partying. I had no inclination to do spiritual work at that juncture. So it was just very important to.
So, okay, well, let's start. Okay, give us idea. What does that mean? How can we reinvent our new American dream? So let's dive into.
Well, the new American dream, in my viewpoint, has to start at the school system or the educational system. Because if you go back and look at the actual statistics, America was most economically successful when only about 40 to 45% of the population was even attending a high school or a secondary school, which would have been a middle school at the time. So the notion that somehow our public education system is going to, you know, get us out of this quandary is a fallacy. It does really nothing meaningful for the vocational process. You might have a guidance counselor who gives you a test. I don't know how exactly effective those tests are, but I remember taking it and it telling me I should be like a farmer. I mean, it couldn't have been. It's just like, really?
Furthest off your vocation.
Yeah. And let me tell you, you know, I'm not the best farmer. But anyway, I don't remember exactly, but I remember being off or saying like electrical engineer, some nonsense. And so we need to rethink how we teach people about what their purpose is, you know, what they're going to do, and start listening to the kids and listening to what they want to do. You know, this isn't, you know, letting the kids run the roost and not having any discipline, but listening to their true thoughts on who they want to be and, you know, what their natural abilities and inclinations are. And so this gets back to solid parenting. That I think is the root. And then you kind of get into later life with high school and, you know, all these kinds of things. It's very important for people to develop mentorship. I mean, that was really my main key. If it wasn't for my mentors, I would have been totally screwed. I would have had a lot more difficult path than I already had because I had multiple people who were committed to my personal development who were just good, kind people. And I think kids can always seek that out, even if their parents, if they know that their parents maybe aren't the best role models or whatever. There's always someone out there willing to teach you if you're willing to listen. And there's the old adage, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. So
yes,
I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that that's a great route for people. And that doesn't cost anything. You know, you can just find an old timer who's retired and say, hey, teach me your trade. Hey, teach me something about life. And that doesn't require a $50,000 tuition and, you know, a Harvard degree or something, you know. So there's a lot of ways, more than one way to skin a cat and get a solid education that's well-rounded. And that was my point with saying that most people weren't going to high school. People back in the day were getting taught via the apprenticeship system. And this goes back to old world Europe. And, you know, that had its problems. I'm not going to say that's some sort of godsend either.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of renegade apprentices and lot of strange stories if you read the history, which I urge people to do because I found it quite fascinating when I was doing research for my book. But America was best when people just kind of hit the ground running and were going after their dream, whatever that might have been, kind of from an earlier age. I think we get into this, you know, I need to party until I'm 26 and with enough, you know, smoking enough weed, I'm going to just figure it all out somehow. I'm going to have this divine perception being high one day of what exactly I need to do as a person. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think this is getting it done. Otherwise, you know, we would see Colorado and Washington right now just with an epidemic of vocationalism, okay? Because they mm-hmm. just legalized the stuff. So anyway, I think people just need to be honest and realistic about, you know, what they can and can't do and just kind of working with what you got. You know, if you don't have any cash, it doesn't really matter. There might be someone out there with cash willing to loan it to you via crowdfunding or an angel investor, which is where I wrote the book about, you know, Startup Fever, about how to kind of get the base level of that going and, you know, get people mm-hmm. up and running in that regard. Or there might be something you can do totally on your own with a printer and, you know, a couple phone calls, just making cold calls with a good idea. I literally started my first business with $50 worth of flyers and a tank of gas. So if, you know, if you can do that, you can kind of do anything, I think. And it just kind of starts with an idea and something you want to do and something you can get yourself out of bed to go and do. If you're not, you know, every other life coach will tell you this, but if you're not passionate about it, it's not gonna work for you long term. And the crazy part about entrepreneurship is your passions really change as you mature. You want to do different things. And so I don't think a lot of people account for that. And so they may put all their eggs in one basket. So this is just saying, hey, my needs now are going to be way different than my needs even next year. So giving yourself room for growth and not boxing yourself into a 5-year retail lease if you don't know if a retail store is going to make you happy in 5 years, you know?
You know, this is so amazing because a lot of the time I find the same thing, what is really happening when people are kind of boxing themselves in with the, you know, well, this is my mission, and they are sticking to that mission and they are not going left or right. They are so stuck for 20 years. In reality, they could do so many other stuff maybe in between.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, everyone has their road and their fate and to a certain extent, and you can always improve upon that. But it's just going with the flow. And for some people, that just scares the living daylights out of them. You know, they're just really afraid of what a world of perpetual change means to them. You know what I mean? When you deeply take that on.
You know, Austin, this is why I love the word entrepreneurs. You know, because that really summarizes that, you know what it takes, you know, to start from nothing and drop everything.
Yeah, and it's all really in our mind first. You know, it's all in our mind first, and it's that stability, that strength of mind that carries you through to the end. Mm-hmm. And so anything is possible with the mind. I mean, look at what people have done, you know, throughout history, just incredible, incredible things. So if we just kind of realize that we have that innate potential to change the world by kind of working in harmony with what we're, you know, supposed to be doing / good at, then there's a lot of empowerment there. And there's a lot of, you don't have to try so hard if you're going with the flow in your own life. You know, you kind of set the wheel in motion, and then it takes on a life of its own, and then you're just kind of along for the ride even. So I don't want people to think, you know, you're going to have to slave the hours away in 80-hour weeks forever or something. It's not like that. It's, you know, maybe you're totally dedicated to your spiritual work, and so that takes precedence over your work life for periods of time. And
exactly.
It can go many different ways, but thinking that, you know, just grinding it out and, you know, working like an attorney does for 70-hour weeks for 10 years and then you can just get to the end of the race and then, you know, but all that time you've been ignoring your emotional, you know, sensibilities. You've been ignoring your spiritual development. So you have all this atrophy to deal with at the end of that 10 years that, you know, someone who's balanced might not have to deal with. They're happy. They might not have the stockpile of cash, but they're, you know, they're on a good, more balanced road that has a longer term good outlook, maybe.
Let me ask you this. Would you be willing to share actually, you know, the pro and cons what you were facing when you were doing, you know, your own businesses and crowdfunding for yourself so that, you know, our listener can get a little experience from your experience, what it takes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The crowdfunding, you really need to approach just like a startup. It's an amazing vehicle for starting something up. It really presents a good PR vehicle. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, preparation is always king. The more you're prepared, the better you're going to do. So I always like to tell people to have like a 10-week prep window available, depending on how much they want to raise and how much they need to do with regards to promotional materials and filming the commercial and this and that to the pitch video. And just so for listeners who aren't aware, crowdfunding, you can figure out what it is if you just go to the website kickstarter.com or indiegogo.com, because I'm sure there's some people out there who have no idea what we're talking about. And crowdfunding is just when you have a group of people pitching in to help invest in a smaller idea or company to help bring that product, service, etc. to life. And so if you just go to those websites, you'll have a good idea of what it is in a five minute window. So if you want, check that out. But again, you need to look at crowdfunding just like a startup. And if you do that with a more complex plan and this and that, you'll have a good chance of making it. It's just people who think that there's free money out there, and I don't think any money is truly free. Now there's luck, but do we want to rely on luck? You know, mm-hmm. maybe you're a very, very lucky person. I don't know. Maybe you can, but I always plan for a sustainable long-term course of action, because that's, you know, just what business has taught me, that there's being idealistic doesn't get you as far as you'd hope. You know, there's the world you hope there would be, and then there's the world.
Yeah. So, you have your dreams and you have something that you can manifest.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, we'd all like to live in the world we'd like, but it's always happening off the bat. So, mm-hmm. So anyway, if people can, the most important thing is developing a warm market. So go and ask 10, 20 random people about what your idea is. If not one of those 20 people says, hey, I'll put in $5 for that, it's probably not a good plan. You might want to come to someone like me and kind of have someone, have a devil's advocate, take a look at it and see if there's a way you can restructure the business, restructure the product, or just make it more marketable so people are like, yeah, I'd throw $20 that direction if you got that up and going. Basically just test marketing, asking people. It doesn't cost you anything but some time to go around and do a man on the street thing or call up your friends. Your friends aren't really a good subject source though, because they either will tell you what you want to hear, or they'll, you know, maybe be kind of jealous and will tell you something weird because of that. So I think it's good to find total strangers who you think might be interested in what you're trying to do, and then go and ask them. I think that's the most simple and direct approach to figuring out if you would be good at crowdfunding. Then kind of figuring out of those 20 people, say four said, yeah, well, I'll throw $20, $100, whatever towards your idea. What's unique about those people? What commonalities do they share? You know, kind of identifying your target market in essence. So if you can start to do that, then you can expand on that. But the statistics are pretty clear in my understanding of you're going to get about $1 per person who's in your warm target market list. So if you have an email list of 10,000 people who've expressed some interest in what you're doing, then you should be able to raise about $10,000. But mm-hmm. a lot of people don't have 100 people on their email list, and they're trying to go and crowdfund, and that's a little difficult. You know, you're relying on basically just social media and plea bargaining, as far as I'm concerned. So you don't want to plea bargain. You don't want to put people in a hard sell position. And nobody ever want that. The biggest difficulty in crowdfunding is the first 3 days. So if you can raise 30% in your first 3 days, then you're good to go. You're probably going to be successful. But there's always the kind of no one wants to be the first money in syndrome. No one wants to be throwing their money at something that might not work out because people want to back a winner. You know, nobody likes to lose. So you're dealing with base human psychology in that sense too, where people aren't going to throw money at your project if they don't think it's viable, if it's never going to happen. So, you know, obviously you wouldn't be doing it if you didn't want to do it and you didn't think it was feasible. But at the same time, you have to convince other people that it's feasible. So that's where your marketing comes in, your video, bringing experience. People want to hear about what you've done in the past, why you're qualified to do this. And the more that you can build yourself up as a credible person for this venture, whatever it may be, then you're going to be good. And so, again, having a person like me on board to kind of shoot holes in the idea and say, hey, you need to take on a partner, or hey, you need to raise $3,000 beforehand for marketing material or research and development, whatever that may be, there's always a way to do it. It's just, do you have the patience? You know, I think that's what I want to stress is patience. Jumping the gun and launching something premeditatively that's kind of half cooked is your big danger, and because then you just look bad and you can look unprofessional. So that's my job and other people of my ilk, and that's what I'm offering on your show today. Is I believe a $49 offer.
Yeah, we have a special offer. Yes, we can throw it now in. So feel free to let our listener know about that.
Yeah. So for $49, I'm giving you a 45-minute. Session where you can ask me pretty much anything about your business, what you're trying to do, what you want to do. I've worked with anything from total startups to mid-level, you know, businesses. I'm not going to say I've worked for Fortune 500 because I haven't. But you know, I have a good idea of what works and what doesn't, and you know, what the general costs of all these things are. So I can really, really help you in a short period of time get a firm understanding of where you're going and where you want to be and what it's going to take to get you there. So I think it's a really good investment for people because, in all honesty, you could spend, you know, tens, if not dozens or hundreds of hours spinning your wheels when you could just make a call and kind of get some outside opinion. So I really hope it brings some value to your listeners because that's what we're trying to do here.
How long it takes, you know, when you start with a crowdfunding, how long can it can take, you know, to go through the process?
Again, I like 10 weeks of prep, and then a crowdfunding campaign can last anywhere from 30 to 60 days, depending. I'm sure there's longer. I think AngelList and things like that, which are not true crowdfunding sites, last even longer, but most 95% are 30 to 60 days. So 10 weeks, so you're looking at whatever, another, so 14 to 18 weeks all in, you know, from beginning to end. So if you think about it, that's a good chunk of time, you know, it's a third of a year or whatnot. So you just really need to be prepared to develop that warm market, find more people who are interested in your idea, and ask them how you can make it better. Ask them how you can make your pitch better. Ask them what they do and don't like about your campaign as it is, because they're going to be the ones sending it out to their friends and getting their friends excited. And, you know, asking a bunch of people, hey, will you send this out to your email list? Hey, will you send this out to whatever so-and-so group, and finding groups that are related to what you're trying to do. A lot of people will help to market you. The press thing is a little tricky. You know, it depends on your publicist, and I would just, that's a complicated subject. So people can just ask me about that later, but PR is a tricky thing. So you got to be careful there.
Well, what kind of things crowdfunding did you do? If you would like to share some of them with us.
Yeah. I crowdfunded a project to go around and teach, kids about crowdfunding, and it was partially successful. I wouldn't say it was fully successful, but that was my first like try at doing something, and that was just kind of a pure-hearted thing that I wanted to try and do. I didn't put tons and tons of promotion and effort into it, but I raised enough money to go and teach a good amount of people about it. So that was cool. I really enjoyed that, and it led to other opportunities. Here's the irony. I'm gonna segue just for a second. I really wanted to do that on a large scale. So what happened? I turned on the TV about 3 weeks ago, and there was Justin Bieber and this like whole host of celebrities who decided that they were gonna raise about $15 million to do exactly what I was thinking about doing last year. So there's freaking Justin Bieber up there, you know, chucking and driving up on the stage. And so, you know, a part of me is like really happy, and another part of me is like, I don't know what to think. But I'm just happy the idea is out there and people are getting it, because if kids don't start getting excited about their careers earlier in life, it's really going to condemn us to a crappier corporate future, which I'm just not looking forward to. I mean, things are already as kind of conformist as I think they should get. So let's just kind of blow this back wide open so we have more ideas and more creativity and less, you know, follow the technological leader into the unknown Borg, you know, hive mind nonsense. I'm just tired of this computers are going to fix my life theology. It's just, I don't know. I don't think it's humanist in any way.
Yeah, talking about humanism here.
Yeah,
I hear you. But, you know, I mean, I was trying actually to mention that you were I was reading somewhere here that you would be interested to actually help kids to do crowdfunding if somebody is showing interest.
Yeah, I would be more than happy if you have a child that is looking to do something like this as a pro bono thing. I have no problem, you know, helping out where I can. Obviously, my schedule gets hectic here and there, but this is a passion deal for me. I just want to see kids have it a bit easier than I had it and able to just go out and do what they want to do in life. And it's totally possible. You know, if I would have started my business with crowdfunding already in place, things could have gone a much, much smoother for me. So in my eyes, there's never been a better time, even though the economy isn't stellar right now, there's never been a better time to try out a business at a lower risk. You know, in the past, you had to go and get a banker loan or borrow money from friends and family. You know, now you don't have to do that. You can take your idea straight to the public and sink or swim. Now it's kind of more difficult because you're doing it more publicly now, and you know your reputation's attached to it, and that's why I'm stressing the preparation. But still, your risk is low. Even if you fail, the chances of second and third time crowdfunding operations are much, much higher. People, you really see the American spirit coming out in this venue, because people are really just saying, you know what, I screwed up the first time, but I'm not going to screw up now. And they're taking the bull by the horns and doing it right the second and third time. So the statistics really show that, you know, if at first you don't succeed, try again, and you might just luck out. So,
But I think, you know, if somebody stands behind the honesty, responsibility, and accountability, that people will trust them.
Oh, no, I'm totally. It's just, can you get in front of them, you know? Can you get in front of them? And so, sadly, it comes back to marketing and, you know, the devil's in the details with marketing. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no kidding. Well, listen, Austin, I would actually right now try to kind of go a little more to add also your astrological aspect and how you're helping your client with the astrological and from the spiritual aspect and your counseling with astrology and numerology. So people could get an idea about that, about your work.
Most definitely. I work on the principle that, you know, a lot of people, you can tell a lot by your chart, obviously, about your psychological makeup, your spiritual disposition, what's going to bring you true fulfillment. A lot of these deep questions that you might have trouble answering on your own can be answered by a, you know, qualified professional in the astrological, tarot, numerology realms. I mean, these are very old sciences for a reason. You know, things don't stay in our culture for 5,000 years because they're ineffective. They stay around that long because they work. And we're one of the only modern cultures in history not to really implement it on a surface level. Now, you better bet your bottom dollar it's being used in the corporate realm secretly, but they're not going to tell you.
Well, they're all using symbols.
Yeah, symbols are...
And they're using all the events, you know, appropriated, you know, to those astrological events, so...
Yeah. So, you know, if all these mega corporations are using astrology, why shouldn't you be able to use it to empower yourself as well? And that's what I, you know, want to bring to people is, you know, reclaiming our symbolism in a way that's meaningful for human development instead of just treating people as, you know, faceless consumers. You can still do it and have integrity. It doesn't have to be subverting people's will to use these marketing tactics and this and that. You can do it in a way that uplifts them and uplifts your business, you know. So.
Well, in many cases, you know, I would say, you know, a lot of time people are actually not believing or poo-pooing astrology. And I think this is a very difficult that they do not understand the whole meaning of it. And I would say, you know, because I always say astrology is nothing else as a tool. You know, a car is a tool to get you from point A to point B. So if the astrology just give you, as you were talking about, you can find so many information about your own personality. And for me, I also like to say to them, you can find so many patterns and cycles that you are just repeating.
Exactly. And again, as Michael Tesarian would say, you know, there's three different cycles of time that you deal with. There's time like you have it on the watch, time like you have it on the calendar, and then there's psychological time. And that's what astrology deals with, is the time that's going on inside your head that deals with your internal landscape and your internal universe. And it's just like if you weren't watching the clock or had no idea what day of the year it was, you would incur problems, you know? And that's what people are doing psychologically, is they don't know what time it is psychologically. And so they're just bumbling about, running into walls here and there because, you know, they didn't set their alarm clock. They're 2 hours late. They don't know where their spiritual destiny is. They're trying to find directions, you know? So we've got a lot of these kinds of symptoms in our society unfortunately reap a lot of difficult consequences for people. And these things can be avoided. A lot of problems in your life can be avoided by understanding your own, you know, self-sabotage mechanisms, your own success modalities, your own makeup in general. And for people who don't think that it works, I mean, I don't think I can totally convince anyone of that if they're totally science-based, right brain, whatever, that's fine. But I think it can help a lot of people, and if you're open to it, I'm pretty sure I could convince you in one way or another that it can work for you.
Well, you know, on some level, I always also say to my clients, I said, you know, well, you know, that the sky doesn't care, do you know that, or you care about or not, it's still there, you know. And, you know, on the other side, you know, astrology works almost look like homeopathy.
No, and it's like they say, ignorance of the law is no excuse, right? It's the same kind of principle. It's like you might still go to jail even if you didn't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, look, like I said, I'm not here to convince people, but the point is that this, you know, the planets exist, you know, the cycles exist, and, you know, they don't care if you care about them or not. But, you know, sometimes it's look like you can walk or you can take the car. So which one is easier? It's your choice. So, you know, we always have a choice here. And so how do you help people with their vocation? You know, I mean, this is also very, you know, intriguing to me that, you know, people can, you know, find about, you know, their vocation and you know, get the coaching with that.
I have a new book coming out that deals exclusively with that, in which I combined tarot, astrology and numerology in a different way that I don't think has ever been done. And I think that this will really give people some deep hints and deep clues not only to the long-term, you know, problems that they may face or successes that they may have, but also what they intrinsically want to be doing, what's really going to make them happy. And the ironic part about this is some people may be saying, well, some of the tarot cards are kind of darker or have a more negative connotation. So in my research, it was really interesting to find all the different ways we can look at supposedly negative experiences and create positive vocations out of things that might deal with trauma, that might deal with all these. So there's always a way to spin your life, because nothing is an accident. All the experiences you've ever had have had purpose behind them. I can guarantee that for anybody, you know, whether mm-hmm. they're sheerly mm-hmm. karmic or not, but is another story. But at the same time, I think that you've been being prepared for something your whole life, whether you know it or not. You're always being prepared for things in life. So it's just a matter of, like, are you willing to face up to the challenge of being a true vocational, you know, self-sustaining individual? Because that brings its own set of challenges with it. And I think people just need to be comfortable with that. It's like, you might be having different challenges than your neighbor down the street who has the corporate job. You might be kind of off grid compared to that guy. But if you're comfortable living with different challenges, not better or worse per se, but just different, then you can do vocational stuff. There's nothing really preventing you from it, because, again, the tools are all there. The internet's there. The people are there. The customers are there. It's just a matter of you deciding you want to go and do it.
Yeah. And, you know, on the other level, what I also personally believe, that we are actually kind of challenged to grow up emotionally.
Oh, yeah. We have to learn to not let people get to us and not let emotional challenges dictate our life, because it's a crazy world out there, and there's a lot of emotionally questionable activity happening, and people throwing their hearts under the bus for nothing. Just kind of, I don't know. It's I think emotionally it's a difficult time to be alive, just because people don't honor their own emotions. And, you know, heck, we got,
well, that's exactly, you know, that's exactly why I'm saying that, you know, we really have to kind of, you know, open ourselves and face all the pain and struggles and everything else before we can, you know, be able to move forward.
Totally. Totally. I mean, you have to do that. We've got whatever, 40 million people on Prozac, or I don't know how many, but that's a crazy amount of people who are willingly saying, I want nothing to do with my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. Whether that's been convinced by them, by their, you know, psychological practitioner and all that, you know, is a different story. But for the most part, that's kind of what you're saying when you're on drug, you know, emotionally altering medication, is I am in no way capable or want any part of dealing with my true emotional nature. And it's a daunting kind of reality. It's a Brave New World-ish kind of deal that we got. And so I think our quest beyond even vocationalism is just speaking our emotional truth, saying how we really feel despite the consequences. Because if we don't start acting like humans again, then mm-hmm. no one's going to do that for us. You know?
They will be happy if you stay in a sleepy mood. Hey, listen, I have actually a question to you from the numerological point of view. Do you have any kind of, I would not even say prediction for the collective, but, you know, do you have any kind of little idea in what direction we may move as from the numerology here?
Yeah, you know, again, this ties a little bit.
This is right now collective. I'm not talking individual. Collective.
Yeah, exactly. No, I know. This is next year is going to be a year where people have to focus on. This year was a year of balance, like maintaining emotional balance. Like that was, in my eyes, what I saw the most difficulty with in my clients and with, you know, society at large. There was just a lot of emotional swings. Next year, it's going to be addiction to the material world and kind of figuring out are you enslaving yourself to your possessions and your habits and your this and that, or are you liberating yourself from them? One of my favorite quotes is St. Augustine, who said that a man has as many masters as he has vices. And I think that's
a... Ouch. It's painful.
Yeah, it's a painful one, but it's one of those things where, you know, we gotta own up to it. And hey, I'm the first to tell you, I'm drinking coffee every day, and you better not get in front of me in my coffee cup because you're gonna pay a price.
This is why I love this so much.
Just watch out.
Many listeners may not like what we are just saying, but you know, I don't care. In the morning I want my coffee, so that's why it's so cute to me.
Exactly.
I'm still in 3D, and yeah. coffee is part of my life. Wow. So practically that means we will face quite a bit of challenges then next year.
Yeah, I think it will. And it's, economically, we're going to see a lot of greed. Greed is really going to skyrocket next
year.
Pop
up. Mm-hmm.
So greed or lack thereof, you make the decision, how can you integrate that or help others around you understand money on a deep level? What is money? What does it do for you? Because obviously, it's energy, but it can be maybe deeper than that. Money in the Eastern tradition is akin to water, and water is yin. And yin has to be flowing to be healthy. It's like water. It's just like a stagnant pond. If a pond just sits there, it starts growing algae and gets all murky and nasty. The same thing happens with lots of money. If you just sit on it, it kind of breeds an evil in a sense. So this is where we get the kind of darker, sinister, oligarchical forces who just sit on money and it just festers. But money can be very, very healthy and very, very productive. Just like we need water to be alive, we need money to be alive. And so, without water, you'd die. Without money, you'd probably die too in certain places. So this is just about letting it flow freely through you. You're not carrying around 10 gallons of water with you everywhere. That would weigh you down. You would feel physically exhausted at the end of the day. So why are people carrying around $10 billion, because it's a psychological drain, whether people know it or not. And so again, I just think having deeper conversations with you, yourself, your friends, your family about what these types of concepts mean will help you to get a jump start on the energy of next year.
Actually, that is actually, as I'm listening to this, thanks what you are just saying, that actually gives me an idea that this whole economic collapse is actually a blessing for the humanity.
Oh, it totally is. I'm more than happy to go through some sort of austerity period to help us reinvent the wheel, so to speak, because the system that we have, even if, we have zombie mayhem tomorrow, eventually sanity will return and people who are hardworking will rise to the top and create a better thing. There's a million ways to do stuff. So I think America will always land on top because we have this ingenuity and this hardworking spirit at our core, especially in places, more in the Midwest and this and that. You don't really have the hard work ethic totally in some of the other major cities, but hey, at certain places people really get up and they're busting hump to build things and do all kinds of practical day-to-day things that need to get done and that still build value for people no matter where their spiritual quest is at. I can go and do manual labor and be happy as a clam because there's something zen about it. There really is.
Yeah.
And so people need to stop thinking that they're above certain things, or it's like you're only as useful to the world as you are like open to what needs to be done, I think.
Absolutely. Well, this is why I'm saying actually maybe this whole economic collapse is actually reinventing new wheels in people, and they have to become more creative and dig deeper to find more resources.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm totally on board with that. And I'm happy that it's happening when it is. because everything has a divine timing in its own way. So if a collapse happens, that's, you know, it's meant to be, and we're going to become stronger as a result.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Austin, we have a few more minutes. I would like you to actually to let our listeners know how they can reach you, so you can give up your website, you can give you whatever information you need to or have. And also, if you have anything to announce to people, feel free. It's your time right now.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
If people are interested in the types of concepts we've been discussing in the interview, I would highly recommend that they check out my book. It's a short read. I kept it very sweet and to the point. And I think people can get a lot out of it, especially if they're looking to do vocational stuff or just kind of enrich their spiritual economic understanding. And they can find that on Amazon in both paperback and ebook format. If they just search Startup Fever or Startup Fever, How Crowdfunding Will Rebuild the American Dream. Other than that, to reach me directly, you can go to www.astrologybyaustin.com. That's my better website. I also have www.crowdfundforlife.com, but I'm trying to kind of make some updates on that one, so that one's a little out of date at this moment. So Astrology by Austin, it's got a contact form. It's got my email. They can also email me directly at startupfever9@gmail.com, and I'll be glad to answer any questions you have. Or again, if your kids need help, just let me know. Or if you're looking to do something for your own business, I would be more than happy to do that. And I have that promotional offer for you guys to do that as well. So I encourage you to give me a shout. I love being of assistance where I can. And I thank you guys so much for all of your time.
And all this information is actually also on my Things Radio show, Conscious Thought with Leo. Just check out Austin, his site, and everything, all the information is on it. Well, Austin, thank you so much. And I appreciate you for giving you this hour and share your information with our listeners. And thank you so much.
Thank you. You have a great evening, all right?
Same to you. Good night, everybody. And thank you for listening. Thank you.